today has been a challenging day for me as an artist. I have felt like overwhelmed, just like not sure of a lot of things. People rejecting me, saying like, okay, no, we can't afford that. Or no, we've changed our minds. Or last minute, we want this. And now we, you know.
Start at the top. What's going on?
I wrote this song and I'm really excited about it, which we talked about this morning. And I want to give it the space and the planning that it deserves, because I think it's a really beautiful piece of work. I also am worried that I'm going to get caught in the cycle from last year where it's like, you need to wait and then you need to wait and then nothing gets released. It's my dishwasher that you might hear in the background that's emptying water. Just, I'm really trying my best to not collapse the past with the present, but it's also really hard for me because like I've been done wrong by so many people and people that like looked me in the eyes and said like, I got your back. I believe in you. And I'm feeling like my trust is still, it's hard. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I'm finding it difficult.
Yeah. Well, I'm here with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's not give ourselves anxiety by worrying about things that aren't real. You're letting previous experiences, sometimes it's okay to let previous experiences dictate how you move. Those previous experiences aren't necessarily based on other people. It's based on you and your perception of other people, who you chose to trust. And we're going to say that you've matured and you're ever maturing. So your selection process is a little bit different. Okay, let's worry about the things that we can control. You're excited. You have a song. You want to release it. You don't want to get caught into a cycle of not releasing music that you had last year. That brings up a question. Do you still have the material from last year that you didn't release?
I do.
Is there any opposition to starting with that music?
There is, yeah.
Okay, what's the opposition there?
I gave my word to a lawyer firm that I wouldn't do that.
That you wouldn't release the music? Okay. How many songs do you have that are ready to go right now?
There are no songs. I'm trying so hard not to get into story and just like stick with you and answer the question. There are no songs ready to go right now.
Outside of the one that you just did.
Yeah. And even that one's not ready to go right now. It's still in like mixing stage.
Yeah, so I would hold off on it. Build yourself a tentative roadmap. We can build out a map that says, like, these are the things that I will check off of my list before releasing music. The faster I get these things done, and I get to reward myself by releasing this thing. And probably putting, like, some kind of date on it. Do I have enough time to put it into the system where it's received by Spotify curators? You got to at least do 6 weeks for that. How do I most effectively tease it? Did I create a piece of content that visually sells what this audio is about? And how many different versions of that do I have? And how many do I want to have? Do I want to have 8 to 10? It's probably going to require not only volume, but also like quality. I would really write it down. You don't have to do this now, but we're just saying how to think about it and just say like, how tactful am I being in releasing this? Because I want to give it a proper chance. There is planning and thought that goes into a lot of this. Now, don't get me wrong. You can have no planning and no thought. You're just rolling the dice. And it's okay to roll the dice. There's nothing wrong with rolling the dice as long as your expectation, like, it's about expectations. When you walk into the casino and you go roll the dice, your expectation is it would be awesome to win, but I expect to lose. So if your expectation is it would be awesome to win, but I'm not expecting this to do anything. I'm just like putting it out because that's what I want to do. I don't want to plan. I don't care about planning. I just want to put it out. You can do that too, as long as the expectation meets, because then you won't have disappointment.
I definitely feel like there's an expectation there. I like let someone listen to the demo the other night at my show, and their reaction was so positive. And he was like, you need to get this song out. The moment this demo's done, you need to be teasing this on TikTok. You need to get this out immediately. Wow.
What qualifies this person's opinion to be valid? Are they LA Reid?
No, they're a friend of mine.
That doesn't count.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's awesome. You can like, fuck yeah, my friend loves this shit, and I give him a hug and you just charge my battery up. Because that's what they did. They gave you some energy They showed you some love. They charged your battery up, and that shit feels awesome. It feels amazing. But you also have to keep it in the space of, my friend just gave me a pat on the back, and I appreciate that. That means something to me, and it's valuable. However, what qualifications do they have to say this? I'd be like, if my friend was like, you need to go invest in this stock right now. That could be cool. That could be dope. And they could be right. But what qualifies them to give information that I should follow on this? Are they an artist? Have they done this before? Have they released music? Do they understand the process? Have they ever tried to push a record? And have they done it multiple times to see that when you do this kind of thing this way, it normally delivers this type of result? If they don't even have that, how can I listen to that? I can listen to it and appreciate it, but I don't have to listen to it and accept it. It's like getting advice. Sometimes taking their advice is not taking their advice. You took it in and you analyzed it. You're like, that's good advice. I want to follow it. Or that's advice. I'm not following that advice.
My brain gets really excited and ends up in like fairy tale land and romanticizes the moment. And now I can't not see it. And the thing is that, just to recap what you said, because I think it was extremely valuable to look for, like, is this person qualified? Everyone's going to have an opinion and a point of view. Like you said in our last meeting, the point of view is there, so that another point of view can exist. And as an artist and as a creator, of course we're going to get excited and have an expectation about our work. I only know a certain type of musician that just puts out music like song after song after song after song and has no expectation. For the rest of the people that I know, there's always an expectation, and there's always like a heart's desire to have it be not just like a hit, but a hit for people, for it to hit people in their heart and for it to make a difference and to reach those that it needs to reach, you know, like going viral and having like a hit song on the radio. Like all of that is like completely transformed and changed over the years. There was a time where I was like, wow, like what would it be like to have a song on the radio? Like you just said, there could be joy in the process, right? You can find and you can discover having fun in the planning stages. That's what's next for us. It's like, I want to have fun and I want to experience joy in the planning phase. And I need a mentor. I need someone like you to support me in the planning phase because I've never done it.
I think it's more just adjusting your mindset around some of this stuff. It doesn't matter if you haven't done it before. The stuff that I'm doing with you right now, I haven't done it before with someone outside of me. It doesn't matter. That's how discoveries are made. People right. have to do things that they've never done before. That's the only way you learn. Love learning. Did you ever watch The Magic School Bus growing up? Miss Frizzle is like, ready kids, like make mistakes and get messy.
Yeah.
Like that's really what it's about. The whole thing is learning. And that's exciting. And you need at-bats to learn. You need repetitions. And that's why I want you to get one out of the way. I think a lot of artists feel like the first thing that they put out is going to be the thing. It's like the first thing you put out is probably going to be the worst thing you put out. The first musical you sang in was probably the worst musical you sang in. You got better over time. You got better through doing it. That's just normally how everything works. You just get better by doing something over and over again.
I did release some music in like when I was like young. So I'll just say like haven't released music as an adult. We'll just say that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to go with the public, right? But I get
public what is small. You don't know how it's going to go with your friends and family. If it reaches the public, it's going well.
This is the struggle I face when people around me are like, it's only going to get like, you know, a couple hundred eyes. Or on like Facebook, I feel like the public is like speaking of me, looking to me, you know, especially because I'm in this competition right now. I've got people like sharing and asking their friends and family to vote, tagging the radio stations that are presenting the competition and tagging me. So I'm seeing public engagement. We could say that that's happening right now. It's not happening on the masses of like, you know, 5,000 people sharing. It's, I'd say maybe we've got like 15 to 20 people in terms of public engagement.
Yeah, that's friends and family. Size-wise, it's like friends and family size. Yeah.
That's also really important for artists to like acknowledge, because it doesn't occur like that for me as an artist. That like, oh, it's the friends and family space. It really does occur like the public is paying attention. And when someone says something to me like, oh, you know, like you don't have anyone to release it to, I notice I take offense to it. I'm like, what do you mean I have no one to release it to? I've got people who've been asking for years, since 2020, people have been asking, where can I find your music? Why isn't the song out? you know, we heard you sing this live. Why, where can I find it? I need this. You know, I hear it all the time. It shows when I play my original music, like, why isn't this on Spotify? I need to stream this. Like, please release this song. And it breaks my heart that some of those songs now, like, I just can't do it right now. You know, I
mean, look, if it was like 4 or 5 people that asked that question, you could just send it to them. I've done that. Oh, you want it? You can have it. What is it? 5 people, 10 people, 20 people? What does it matter? I'm going to give it to you.
Just give it to them? Like,
tell me why you can't do that.
I feel like I'm going to get in trouble.
By who?
I don't know. Like, what if somebody finds out?
Here we go with the anxiety again. You know, it's like, it's fear of these things that are just like not real. Take the worst whatever you're imagining. And then just say, is this a bad problem or a good problem? Probably a good problem. Wait, a brand has a song that magically somehow through something I gave to somebody, it hit something, went viral, it blew up. The brand's going to be mad at me now? No, they're not. Like,
right.
So it's a rational fear. So I don't want you to think like that at all. If you want to give it to a couple of people, go give it to a couple of people. Like, but I do have an empathy and an understanding of what you mean. Because if you're looking at things through a lens, and so I think social media does this because it's not like in front of you, but you're looking through a lens, for lack of a better word, it induces delusions of grandeur. So it makes it feel like it is more magnified than it actually is. So if you're like, the world is watching me, it's like, no, 15 or 20 people are watching consistently. Even if 150 people are watching, there's 150 people times 100 million that are just following one person on that same platform's account. Not that serious. It's really more of getting over that hurdle so that you can start to be free. Because right now you're in like a mental prison of anxious and fear and worry and every word that could come out of my mouth that's potentially negative or limiting. And I'm like, let's get that shit out of the way so that we can be liberated and free and confident and bold and, you know, like really express ourselves in a way that's honest and true and serves the people who actually are watching us. 10,000 becomes 10,000 because it started at 10, and 10 people need to feel something. They need to feel like they're being paid attention to. You got music and you're not ready to put it out, but you got 10 people who are just like diehard fans. Don't you think that they would be even more diehard fans if they had an exclusive early release to something that's not even out yet? And then if it does go out or whatever, they're able to say like, well, look, I had the original. It was sent to me personally, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? There's only positives to that way of thinking. The only possibility through that way of thinking, not like lack of possibility.
Yeah, so I can just give them my songs. Now, I guess the stuff that I told the lawyers that I wouldn't publicly release, that content, I shouldn't.
Probably not.
I'm going to make the call right now. I'm not going to rush this. I'm going to give this song the attention it deserves. What you said in the beginning was really brilliant. It's like, send it to some people who are qualified to.
And get the true information. If you just leave it open to someone to tell you whether they like the song or not, they're not going to give you the information that you can use. You might want certain information like, did you like the song? Yes or no? Rate it 1 out of 10. What did you like about it? Did you value the production or did you value the songwriting? Was the melody? Was the chorus memorable? So get the real information behind why someone is moved by your song. Much better than just getting general information like, yeah, I like your song, it was good. The song in the car, would you listen to the song in the shower going on a run? How does all this rank up, even if it's only 10 people? But like, you know, out of 10, where does all of this average?
Good, I like that. See, it's interesting, like, that's part of the process, and it strikes me as fun and enjoyable. The thing that I always need to put in is like, okay, there's a great idea, but then focus the idea. I was like, let's just ask questions. You're like, let's put a little more focus on it. Let's ask designated questions to get like specific answers. And I wouldn't have thought of that. So thank you.
If you have a song and 10 out of 10 people say that they would listen to it while they're in the gym, then immediately you say, okay, let me figure out who does gym and fitness playlists. I love your fitness videos. Your fitness videos are amazing. They're awesome. You always have such upbeat music. I wrote this song and it made me think of you. And I think it would be amazing if you just happen to use this song in your next workout video, blah, 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 blah. Fitness studios and being like, hey, like, do you guys make your own playlists or whatever for the workouts, for Zumba, for Rumba or whatever it's called, or Pilates, whatever, you know, and get your song put into those things. So that now it's like integrated into a cultural thing. That's what that kind of information can help you like target and figure out.
That's really good. Another thing too is someone says they want to take 50% of production or points. And he was like, yeah, like 50-50 split. Is that like common?
50-50 split is how I do everything.
He says I keep like 100% for the songwriting, like in terms of the lyrics, because I wrote the lyrics. He didn't write any lyrics.
Okay.
But he's in a 50-50 split. So curious, like how does that work then? Let's say we got paid like $100. Does that mean I make 50 and he makes 50 of the whole song?
BMI does it like 100-100. So the BMI writes it out like it's 100% on the publishing side. It's 100% on the songwriting side. And so if you do a 50-50 split and there's two writers, one of the right, Angie Faith would get 50%, producer would get 50%. And then there's the publishing, they get 100%. And all together, that makes 200%. If you're on ASCAP, what they'll say is, the whole song is 100%. There's 50% over here, that's publishing. There's 50% over here, this is the song. You split this in half, you get 25, 25, and then publishing is 50. That makes 100%. Getting a clear understanding of what the different types of royalties are, how you earn from each one, what companies and organizations you need to be registered with to collect from each, that's important. And if you don't know that, then we'll set up some time to figure that out before, yeah, you know, you actually go release something.
So when he says 50-50, like that's standard, and I just need to give that to him.
What do you do? You produce the track.
Yeah, look, listen. Yeah, I did pay him.
Then you shouldn't split it. If you paid him, it should be deemed a work for hire. But if you have not given him a work for hire form and he has not signed it, this wasn't clearly expressed. So it's important to clearly express all intentions before ever entering the space of creating the art. You want to do all this stuff in advance. And the best way to do it is typically in an email. It's like, hey, I'm going to be coming to your studio tomorrow just to make sure, like, you know, we're going to do a work for hire or whatever. You know, just like whatever the stipulations are, just send an email and then just tell them to confirm back, yes. Get to the studio just before we start anything. Can you confirm that email? And you don't start working until someone confirms the email. You might have to take it on the chin. Is he offering you some kind of special discount or anything like that?
A home studio. He usually charges like $100 an hour. He's charging me $60. He only charges $200 for mix and master. It's like $700 up front.
Oh, God. I know that we talked about this.
Yeah.
Moving forward, just please don't do this anymore. Because for $700, you could have got everything you need. You could have got a microphone. You could have got interface and DAW to record in and headphones.
But do I have like the proper room to record in? Like,
none of that matters. No one can hear any of that stuff. People are listening on shitty like headphones like this, and they're listening to a compressed file that they're streaming on top of that. And a lot of people are listening on Bluetooth headphones. You're taking a file, you're crunching it down. Spotify doesn't even have lossless audio. So they're listening to a crap audio file there. Then it's got to transfer through Bluetooth crap and get into your crap headphone. No one is going to hear it. Most people have no idea sonically what the differences are. Again, this is anxiety. You're worried about things that like don't exist. This is like in your imagination, you think that it matters, but it doesn't matter. When you listen to a record, and I don't care who sung on it, are you like, I know what microphone they sung on? I know what kind of room they were sitting in?
No.
No, no one knows.
So basically, if I had done the vocals and guitar at home, I could have sent him the stems. Then he could do the mixing and like whatever he charges for mixing and mastering with 200 instead of 7.
Yeah, and then you would get this. And then I would ask for the session file back, open it up and see exactly what he did. And then just buy the plugins that he used. And now you have that. If I were going to even go through that process, I would go to a real legitimate recording studio with a seasoned professional engineer and have them do it. So that way you could take their vocal chains and you can take their stuff. And now you have it. It's yours. And you never need to go back to them again if you don't want to. If I'm speaking like, with some energy, it's because, A, I don't want to see you go down this path of just spending money. If you spend $700, it's like, shit, is there a way for you to get back that $700 off of the music? It's hard.
Right.
So I don't want it to cost much of anything to put music out. And I want you to be able to experiment and play. And also on top of that is there's an ideology. I don't like when I see people cannibalize each other when they're virtually at the same level. You can't be a producer who has like no qualifications actually, and like no real track record of anything or no proven history of success or not like nothing really. And then charge an artist who equally doesn't have those things either. It's two people at the same level eating each other alive. That's not right. You guys need to work together, not charge each other anything, split everything 50-50, try to divvy, like, so that that way you guys can create as much stuff as possible so that you can level yourselves up together.
Yeah.
This isn't leveling up together. This is you paying for a service from somebody you could have just paid for that same service for that was way better. You could get, like, Chris Brown's engineer for the same price. Sometimes he has off time or free time or sit down season, or he just worked on 5 records back to back and now he just wants to do something for fun. And you get that same guy to do the same thing. There are buyers and there are sellers in this world. And I'm not knocking anybody for being a hustler and being a seller, but you also have to figure out who you sell to.
And that's what you said. You're like basically
cannibalizing other artists who are at your level. In the situation you're in right now, again, I would try to work for hire. If you can't, take it on the chin. You know, going forward, like the splits have to be determined before the writing.
So frustrating because like, I know this and yet I don't do it. It's like, what? I can hit my head against my board here.
But it's anxiety. Like, it's fear. You don't want to deal with the conflict. You don't want to deal with somebody saying that they're going
to
work.
And that to me is like, that's the amateur.
Probably have to take it on the chin, do 50-50. And again, put it back in reality. 50-50 of what? Do you know a music publisher, a sync agent, have a connection to a music library? Is there a way to put this song in a position where it can actually monetize outside of the one thing that you're likely thinking about, which is Spotify streams?
Man, when you said it like that, when you're like, oh, you just spent $700. Like, how are you going to get that back? Like, it's interesting how my brain didn't think about that.
You're a business. You have a product. That product goes out. At bare minimum, it has to make enough to pay for itself. If it's costing you $700 to put it out, then you got to say, fuck, how do I make $700 from this piece of music? How much is going to go into marketing, promotion, and advertising? If I spent $700 on recording, am I not going to spend $700 on marketing, promotion, and advertising?
Yeah. Same with the contract with the manager, like spent $4,000. Has he made me $4,000 in the 6 months that we've worked together? No. In the time that we worked together, like I won $10,000 and I won, you know, with Joy Burst, but that was my initiative. Literally stumbled upon you on TikTok. Like from that $10,000, $1,460 and having to give it to him to pay off the debt I was in.
It's okay. This is all learning.
Learning is costing a lot of money.
It does. That's why you got to learn fast. Some people don't learn until they're like $250,000 in debt. Worked with an artist who has blown over 6 figures. Gave me a song on Hot 97. The radio interviews with Big Boy. Pay to get on an opening act for this artist. Pay to get on tour with this artist. And it happens all the time. You want to open for an artist? All right. You got 20 grand? You got 10 grand? Cool. You can do it. He's dropped over 6 figures on his music career in the $250,000 world. And he doesn't have a music career. You know, like he's still very rich, but music wasn't the avenue. How many do you think Brad has dropped on music? A lot. He has spent quite a decent amount of money on music. But the difference is that he made his money back multifold because he has a product.
Makes sense. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. It makes sense now. Again, it's interesting. Like I have to think like, I'm going to go spend X amount of 100 or 1,000. Am I going to make it back?